At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock. We're recapping, of course, the fantasy football weekend, looking ahead to Monday Night Football, also talking little baseball here on the show as well. Dave, it's great to have you back here on this Monday. Very interesting fantasy football weekend, no doubt, highlighted by some really good quarterback performances, a couple of surprising ones very specifically. I think Matt Ryan is the one that comes to mind to me, a career best performance for him against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And then a game in the first half that did not live up to the hype in Kansas City and Buffalo, but certainly the second half did. And the Bills, basically show why they're essentially the Super Bowl favorite at the moment.
Yeah, both the Bills and the Chiefs did play very scared. Lots of punts, lots of kicking it on fourth downs. Pretty disappointing. I mean, that's honestly just what we've come to expect with these games of the year, though. When they play in Kansas City, we had it last year with the Cowboys and the Chiefs. Nothing happened there. The Bills blew the Chiefs out in the regular season last year. Just really disappointing offensively from Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes with a 5.4 average depth of target. Kind of lame. And honestly, another kind of bad Sunday Night Football game too. The Cowboys just absolutely no resistance. The Eagles, the Eagles look like clearly the best team in the NFC. I'm not sure if anyone else can even sniff them in the NFC.
Yeah, looking great right now. Tough day for Green Bay and Tampa Bay. Let's get to our headlines as we begin the show here on this Monday. This is what you wait for in baseball, a deciding game five in a division series. It's the only one left at this point. Shocking games and developments from the weekend, for sure, no doubt. But the Yankees have a chance to sort of be one of those teams that bucks the trend of these better teams going down. They'll play Cleveland tonight, game five in the Bronx, their favorite to win. We'll see. Eagles remain undefeated as they beat the Cowboys yesterday 26-17. Cooper Rush had something to say about that game. Unfortunately, not the best performance for him. Probably done after this week. Kenny Pickett exited the game early as the Steelers upset the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at home as an 8.5-point dog. And Jets and Giants both pulling off wins yesterday. I think surprising to see the Jets play as well as they did, Davis, in Lambeau. I did not see that coming. Steelers, actually played very well, I thought, against Tampa Bay. And the Buccaneers, say what you want about Tom Brady and say what you want about these weapons that he has, but sort of a rude awakening for him this year. The Bucs just don't look formidable at all.
I think a very rude awakening for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The offensive line looks bad. Fournette looks okay when he gets going, but gets going kind of slow. It's just like, the vibes are off. I mean, that's really the best analysis that I can give on the situation. It's like Brady always looks unhappy, always is yelling at someone, yelling at one of the wide receivers, yelling at the offensive line, and the defense is not playing particularly well. I mean, letting Mitch Trubisky come in cold and throw the game-winning touchdown to Chase Claypool. Like, we can't, like, come on. A game-winning touchdown for Mitch Trubisky, like, it's really not a very good scene. And Brady, I mean, has to be feeling kind of bummed about his decision to come back and play. I would imagine he did not expect it to be this much of a struggle.
Yeah, and I would say that if you are still alive in a survivor pool after this week, you had the Rams, because everybody else amongst those big favorites lost, Davis. I mean, San Francisco goes down to Atlanta. Atlanta now 6-0 against the spread. Unbelievable for them this season. We mentioned Tampa Bay going down. 8-point dogs, 8-point favorites at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh wins outright. And then I don't know what in the world's going on with Green Bay, but Aaron Rodgers definitely with his most, I think, insightful press conference after the game yesterday, Davis, basically saying they have to go back to the basics, which essentially tells me Rodgers is going to take this thing over. I don't know how it's going to go, though.
I mean, going back to the basics, wouldn't it? I mean, that would just be running more, right? I would assume that would mean more A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones, but neither of those guys have been all that good. I mean, neither of those, like, I don't, the first game, the very first game the Packers played, I was like, oh my gosh, no one is going to be able to tackle A.J. Dillon. It's just like, tackling him seems like one of the hardest jobs in the NFL. But I mean, Rodgers is just continually missing these downfield throws. He had Dobbs on a deep one yesterday that would have brought the game level. He misses Dobbs by like 3 yards, and Christian Watson is injured, their second round pick. Sammy Watkins is eligible to come off of the IR. He's eligible to come off the IR, I believe, after this week. I mean, they would definitely need him if Watson is not going to be returning anytime soon. Randall Cobb got injured in that game yesterday. Robert Tonyan was a big part of the offense. Like, I mean, to me, I've always, well, not always. I used to think Aaron Rodgers was one of the best guys to ever play, and I still think he's great. But the style that Rodgers plays now is, it's, you know, so much of his game is predicated on these deep throws, these game-breaking plays. And with this cover to safety stuff, it's just a lot harder. But I mean, I do enjoy watching Aaron Rodgers lose a home game, to be honest. It is pretty enjoyable for me.
A rare Lambeau loss like that yesterday, but all was not lost. There were some really entertaining games, and we'll get to that coming up next. Very specifically, the games probably that nobody was interested in watching, Cincinnati, New Orleans, Jacksonville, and Indianapolis. I mean, those games were phenomenal yesterday, and a lot of our fantasy standouts actually coming from those games as well. So that will be our focus coming up next year on the show. We'll take you through who did what in fantasy football.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
On the standout side, and a little bit later in the show, Andrew Erickson is going to join us. We'll preview Monday Night Football. Maybe you have some implications going into the game tonight between, of course, the very up and down Los Angeles Chargers and the pretty much down Denver Broncos. So that's what we have in front of us tonight, as well as a deciding game in the American League Division Series between New York and Cleveland. National League Series starts tomorrow, and we'll take a quick timeout here on this Monday. Stick with us. More fantasy football talk coming up right after the break. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. We're going to recap the week that just passed in the NFL from a fantasy football perspective. It's time for us to take a look at the fantasy standouts from Sunday. And so Davis will jump right in and take a look at the quarterback performances. And I think the one that sticks out to me the most for sure is Matt Ryan on the Indianapolis Colts. But let's take a look at all of them, and then we'll dive in a little deeper here. Joe Burrow yesterday in New Orleans had no problem carving up their defense. He threw for 300 yards, rushed for 25, and had four touchdowns. But Matt Ryan, I think he threw for like 105. I think he threw 105 passes yesterday. It was like out of control completely with no Jonathan Taylor. They still were running the ball pretty good, though. Three touchdowns yesterday for Matt Ryan and 389 passing yards for him. Josh Allen, 239 and three touchdowns against Kansas City. Marcus Mariota, not a lot of passing yards, but did rush for 50 and ended up with three touchdowns. And also Trevor Lawrence had three touchdowns in that game against Indianapolis as well. And I guess that's pretty much a good place to start, Davis. I mean, I just could not have seen this coming from the Indianapolis Colts. Ryan has just been fumbling his way through the first few games of the season, and yesterday puts up the best numbers of his career. Who saw that?
I mean, yeah, it's a good reminder of the variance that happens in a single football game. You know, pretty much anything can happen. Matt Ryan dropped back 58 times. It was the only game this season in which he did not take a sack, the only game in this season in which he did not turn the ball over, also the only game this season that the Jacksonville Jaguars defense did not record a sack or generate a turnover. You know, I would imagine that if you play this game 10 times and you have Matt Ryan drop back 58 times, this is probably in the upper 95th percentile of the results that you could expect as a member of the Indianapolis Colts. Guy who played a lot of Jaguars defense in daily fantasy yesterday, obviously have to feel like this is exactly what you want, right? You want to face Matt Ryan dropping back a ton of time. And by the way, I mean, he did come incredibly close to some of those boneheaded mistakes. Like, there was an intentional grounding that he took that looked like his brain got confused between throwing it out and trying to throw it at the feet of Deion Jackson. Could have very easily been a turnover there. There was on a third and 16, there was a roughing the passer penalty where Trevon Walker's hand hit Matt Ryan's helmet. Just, I mean, really bizarre stuff. And the Bengals, I thought that was a really interesting game because they looked horrible in the first half. I mean, you know, T. Higgins is limping around with that ankle. Jamar Chase has two receptions for 18 yards. Tyler Boyd was leading them in receiving at the half. I guess Zach Taylor must have really gotten into their jerseys in halftime. And then, I mean, they honestly probably should have lost this game. And then, you know, Jamar Chase just puts on his Superman cape and pretty much does all the work himself with the game-winning touchdown, which was very cool to see. Obviously, that was the stadium where Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase won the college football playoff. Burrow showed up to the game wearing a Jamar Chase LSU jersey. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, Bengals offense looks like, for the most part, maybe they're on the right track. You know, certainly some other offenses like Green Bay, like Tampa Bay, a lot of issues yesterday too, and they don't show up on our list, no doubt about that. All right, at running back, speaking of Deion Jackson, boy, he was a good one-week fill-in. Who knows? Maybe he's carved out a little more of a role because he caught 10 passes yesterday for 79 yards. He also rushed for 42 yards and a touchdown. Of course, he was on my bench yesterday. Good job by me. Ramondre Stevenson made the most of his opportunity. We should probably talk about New England, how good they looked in Cleveland. My goodness, Bailey Zappe looked good too. Leonard Fournette, 63 yards rushing. He promised a touchdown, so there you go. Also caught six balls for 38 yards. Christian McCaffrey is in, I don't even know if there's a worse situation in football right now, but he did rush for 69 yards, seven receptions, 89 yards. He had one real long one at the end of the game. And Breece Hall has been great. Another 116 yards rushing, had a long rush as well, two receptions and a touchdown. And in terms of offensive rookie of the year, Hall is well on his way at the moment. He looks really good for the Jets.
I think Bailey Zappe. I mean, if Bailey Zappe starts the rest of the season for the Patriots and they make the playoffs or they win 10 games, I wonder, we'd have to go on the break. I'll go look up what his offensive rookie of the year odds, but I'm pretty interested in that. So I do like Breece Hall, but I think we need to be a little bit cautious here. One, the Jets are running this really low volume offense. Zach Wilson only dropped back 21 times in this game against the Packers. And the play that Breece Hall, this was so fascinating. The play that Breece Hall scored on, it was intended to be a wide receiver reverse. So Zach Wilson gets the ball to Breece Hall. He's supposed to pitch it to, I can't remember if it was Braxton Berrios or Elijah Moore. And instead, he sees a hole and he's like, you know what? I'm not pitching this. I'm just taking it. And obviously it was the right decision, you know, ends up scoring this long touchdown run. But I mean, obviously, you know, very close to like, I mean, without that, he's got a horrible fantasy. He's got like 6 fantasy points without that one. McCaffrey, 3 straight games with 22 or more PPR points. But I mean, we were like, how could this Panthers offense get any worse? It got worse. PJ Walker, I don't think I've ever seen this before. A negative average depth of target, which means that the average pass that PJ Walker threw yesterday was behind the line of scrimmage. DJ Moore did nothing. I mean, and then PJ Walker gets hurt in this game. Jacob Eason comes in. It's just the state of some of these really bad NFL teams. It is just really tough to watch some of these teams.
Yeah. Also, Dalvin Cook, 77 yards and a touchdown, worth mentioning for Minnesota, and a long touchdown for him as well in Miami. All right. Speaking of Miami, Tyreek Hill, it just doesn't matter if the first, the second, the third, the eighth string quarterback is there. Boy, he is having some season right now, better than his Kansas City seasons. 12 receptions, 177 yards yesterday. Are you kidding me? Unbelievable. Jamar Chase, maybe his best game of the year, 7 for 132 and 2 scores. Stephon Diggs was Mr. Fourth Quarter. Allen just didn't look at anyone else. It was all Diggs, 10 for 148 and touchdown. Brandon Ayuk got in the end zone twice in that loss. And then Michael Pittman Jr., with his best game of the year, had 13 receptions for 134 yards. But my gosh, like Tyreek Hill is like quarterback proof, matchup proof. I guess credit to the Dolphins for just finding a way to get him the ball. But my goodness, he's like seeing every target and making the most of all of them.
I mean, this was why the Dolphins traded the first round pick for him, right? It was they looked at their wide receiver room. They looked at who they had at quarterback and they're like, this ain't going to work. We're not going to win 10 games, you know, running out Devontae Parker, who they traded to the Patriots, or Cedric Wilson or Trent Sherfield. Like, they needed a game breaker. Tyreek Hill, a very clear game breaker. And I mean, certainly I think an opportunity that once all of this like drama and chaos with the head injuries and Teddy has a concussion, then he doesn't have a concussion, then it's a finger injury, then it's an ankle injury. Like, it's all insane, right? All of that stuff was insane. But yeah, I mean, Tyreek, just an absolute stud. And Stephon Diggs also just a clear stud.
Yes, Diggs amazing too. He covered, doesn't make a difference. All right, let's go to tight ends. Another Dolphin tight end leads the way here. Mike Gesicki scored twice yesterday on 6 receptions for 89 yards. Mark Andrews, Mr. Reliable, 7 for 106. Surprising finish, I thought, in that game, but with Lamar looking like lost at the end of that game yesterday. I don't know what was going on. Robert Tonyan, 10 receptions for 90 yards. Kelsey, also, speaking of Reliable, 8 for 108. And then, hey, Hunter Henry makes an appearance. 4 receptions, 61 yards, and a touchdown. But it's basically the same thing every week. It's Kelsey, it's Andrews, and then it's just some other guys show up. It's pretty much it.
Looking at, you know, Trent Sherfield and Cedric Wilson and River Crackraft, and he's like, you know what? Let's just see what happens. And this was the most snaps Gesicki's played in a game, the most routes he's ran in a game, ran a route on 42 of 50 dropbacks for the Dolphins. If that is the role that he plays, I mean, Gesicki has always been good when he's been on the field. So I'm pretty interested in Gesicki for fantasy if he stays in this role.
Yeah, we'll see. Tight end definitely could use pickups for sure. Everyone needing one in fantasy this year, no doubt. All right, coming up next, Andrew Erickson is in the house. We'll preview Monday Night Football and go through this year. Sort of a mid-range total between the Chargers and Denver Broncos, somewhere in the 40s, it looks like, 43, 44. So we'll see what that means tonight and who we should be playing tonight over on DraftKings. So stay on the grid for that. Then we'll have some fantasy or reality in the Sports Grid 60. Also, don't forget, tomorrow night, opening night of the NBA. So we'll have our daily fantasy preview on our show coming up tomorrow.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Tomorrow, as well as the National League Championship Series, which begins between Philadelphia and San Diego. How about that one? Unbelievable. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Time to dive into Monday Night Football with our next guest, Andrew Erickson, of course, of Fantasy Pros. Also, Davis here with us as well to give us a preview of what to expect tonight, who to play in Daily Fantasy. Andrew, great to have you back here on Fantasy Sports Today. Hope you had a nice weekend.
Yeah, great weekend. Got to watch my guy Ramondre Stevenson just go absolutely nuclear like we all projected he would without Damien Harris. So great day in the Erickson household.
All right. Well, good. Hopefully some cash as well, no doubt. All right, let's take a look at the slate tonight. It's the Chargers and Broncos. And boy, if we would have talked about this game in August, maybe we would have thought, hey, 60 points on tap tonight, 70 points, who knows? Boy, the Vegas total tonight, just 44. Austin Eckler, 17,100. He's come on lately. Justin Herbert is priced at 16.5. We have Mike Williams at 15.9. Russell Wilson, if you want to take a shot that tonight is the night, is 15. Keenan Allen, 13.8. Cortland Sutton, 12,800. And Andrew, you know, we've been sort of waiting for Denver to wake up and start scoring some points, but there's been like no indication that that has happened or going to happen. Do you think tonight is the night? Do you build lineups around the Broncos tonight, or do you just say, nah, I'm not doing it?
I think that if you want in a large field that, you know, playing Russell Wilson, he's probably going to be under rostered in the fact that he's dealing with this shoulder injury. You know, some of the doctors that I've talked to from Fantasy Pros have talked about how his deep ball is just not going to be the same. Like, he's not going to be able to throw the ball downfield nearly as effective, kind of similar to what happened to Dak Prescott when he was dealing with a similar lat injury. So it's hard to get behind some of these guys that are seeing more downfield targets like a Jerry Jeudy. So I still like Cortland Sutton as that guy that hogs up the majority of targets in this offense. You look at the Chargers defense, they're number one in DVOA against number two wide receivers. Like, they've been locking down slot guys where Jerry Jeudy played the most of his snaps last week. So against Bryce Callahan in the slot, I don't love Jerry Jeudy. I prefer Cortland Sutton. And then for the Broncos offense, I'm looking towards the running backs. Like, the Chargers don't want to stop the run. They don't try to stop the run. Dead last in yards allowed before contact. So they're giving up yardage because that's how they play defense. They just want to give up yards on the ground. So Melvin Gordon and Mike Boone, I'm looking at, and in some large field tournaments. I mean, if Latavius Murray is going to be active, then there's a chance that he does have a role and could even usurp Mike Boone as the number two running back, maybe get a goal line carry. So Latavius Murray is probably someone that I'm looking at in some of these large field plays.
Yeah, I think Latavius Murray is actually probably the most interesting angle. I would imagine that he will be the third most owned Denver Broncos running back. But Craig and I talked about this on the show a little bit last week. Like, what do bad leaders do? Bad leaders always look to blame someone. Obviously, Nathaniel Hackett can't blame Russell Wilson. They paid him too much money. You know, they gave up too much to get him. It really would not surprise me because right now I have a very low opinion of Nathaniel Hackett. Really would not surprise me to see Melvin Gordon not play very much at all here. Also worth mentioning, he is questionable with an injury. I think he's like probably pretty likely to play, but Latavius Murray getting in there in the short down a distance, the goal line stuff, not really that surprising. My super deep guy, my guy that I'm going to be playing in my 150 max set on DraftKings, going to be Donald Parham. I believe he ran a route on 11 of his 14 snaps in his first game back. Keenan Allen remains out. And you know, third wide receiver for the Chargers, whether it be Josh Palmer, whether it be DeAndre Carter, Jalen Guyton's out injured. I mean, these guys have given the Chargers absolutely nothing this year. So I do kind of like, and also first touchdown bet. There you go. Parham, I believe 30-1, most books for first touchdown. So that's my angle tonight.
All right, interesting there. All right, let's dive in, Andrew and Davis, to some developments from the weekend. Let's start off with the Baltimore Ravens running back situation. Now, J.K. Dobbins coming back off the injury you know, the assumption sort of was that he was going to be the guy, and it looked like that when he first came back. But boy, we did not see Dobbins almost at all in the game yesterday in the second half, and it looked like Kenyon Drake has found a key role in this offense again. The Ravens led this thing basically from the beginning to the end, Andrew, and then they just fumbled and bumbled their way to the end. Giants ended, I mean, got to give credit to the Giants for winning that game, but it really felt like that was the Ravens game from start to finish. I did not see this coming. I did not see Kenyon Drake being someone that we would be talking about here, given the fact of how good Dobbins at least looked initially when he came back from injury. What's going on here?
Yeah, I mean, clearly there's an issue with Dobbins and his knee injury, hamstring injury. There's a lower body injury that he's dealing with. You know, John Harbaugh came out and said after the game that his knee was tightening, which is why they didn't basically play him in the second half. He only played 27% of the snaps overall. And this was similar to the week before when he didn't really play a lot in the second half again. So Kenyon Drake, it seems kind of trappy because we saw Kenyon Drake basically start during the beginning of the year for the Ravens and do nothing. Like, and he didn't really get a lot of volume in this match either. The Ravens running backs every single week, they're not getting, like, as a unit, they're not even seeing like 15 touches per game because Lamar Jackson is obviously taking rushing attempts out of the backfield that would usually go to running backs. You don't have a lot of receiving equity in any of these running backs. Kenyon Drake was basically, Dobbins can't be out there, and you're playing the Browns defense. Like that's kind of the sell that you're trying to get here, because the Browns run defense cannot stop anybody. But can Kenyon Drake get it done on 10 carries, which is what he had in this game, is kind of what you're betting on, and a touchdown.
I mean, he just simply happened to score a 30-yard rushing touchdown that was perfectly blocked and that the Giants seemed to have no idea where the ball was going to be going. John Harbaugh actually, so he was complaining about the turf before the game. So pregame press conference, he's like, this turf is in horrible shape. You know, it's not, I believe he specifically said, like, I'm worried about my guys. Like, this is unsafe conditions for my guys. And then after the game, the postgame press conference, he said that Dobbins' knee acted up on him and then kind of seemed to intimate that it was the turf. And Mike Davis even re-entered the rotation in this game. Justice Hill was out injured in this game, but he is going to be back, I believe, next week. He would be ahead of Kenyon Drake. He was playing ahead of Kenyon Drake anyways. And then Gus Edwards has also been activated from the physically unable to perform list and has to, I believe it's they either have to put him on IR or activate him onto the active roster this next week. So long story short, I there's not a Ravens running back you're starting in fantasy right now, pretty much.
No, doesn't look like that for sure. All right, let's now move over to the New England Patriots. And, you know, I suppose you probably could find a team that has played better in the NFL the last 2 weeks, but the Patriots are right up there with Bailey Zappe leading the way. And a new weapon has sort of emerged in Tyquan Thornton, who doesn't really have a ton of catches or touchdowns, but he's starting to see more of it. And who knows what Devontae Parker's role or Jacoby Myers' role would be. And listen, if Zappe is comfortable throwing at different guys, we saw Hunter Henry score a touchdown yesterday. I mean, I assume Mac Jones is going to come back. I mean, I don't know the answer if he is or not, but my goodness, right now the Patriots are clicking in a big, big way, missing Mac Jones and even missing Damian Harris. Andrew.
Yeah, I mean, with Tyquan Thornton, he adds an element that the Patriots don't have with any of the receivers, that's just speed. Like all of their receivers are not fast. You know, Jacoby Myers is shifty, can get open. Devontae Parker's a big-bodied, contested guy. But both those guys, you know, Myers has been dealing with an injury kind of all year so far. Devontae Parker, we kind of know his injury track record. And Tyquan Thornton obviously dealt with an injury earlier this season. But he's healthy, and they're designing ways to get him the ball, high-value touches. You know, Jacoby Myers, what does a guy have to do to get two touchdowns in the same game? And then they have this rookie wide receiver scoring just two touchdowns in his second game back from injury. So, I mean, they're definitely trying to get Tyquan Thornton the ball. And I think that if you had asked me, oh, do you want Devontae Parker or Tyquan Thornton off the waiver wire, if you need someone to start against the Chicago Bears, like, yeah, I get that Thornton was playing behind Devontae Parker and Jacoby Myers in this game. But, you know, he got a usage bump because Kendrick Bourne left with an injury. They're not trying to get Kendrick Bourne on the field. His snaps have been limited basically all season long. And Nelson Agholor is also hurt. So I think that Thornton's on the ascend and is someone that I think is worth stashing to kind of see things how play out.
I'm pretty interested in Thornton just because we really have not seen very many guys like this play under Belichick. I mean, generally, if you think about a lot of the guys they've drafted, it's been the N'Keal Harry, and then they trade the third round pick for Devontae Parker. You know, big bodied guys, they play on the perimeter. They're not particularly fast, but they're going to win a lot of contested catches. Thornton, pretty much the opposite. Not a very precise route runner, but incredibly fast, ran the fastest 40 at the combine this most recent year. And they probably the most interesting thing is that they way overdrafted him relative to, like, quote unquote, you know, expectations, you know, like where he was going and like mock drafts and big boards and things like that, which would indicate that they said, well, we can't risk not getting this guy. And the Patriots wide receivers have been so bad that, I mean, I think you definitely need to be adding him this week.
All right, let's cap it off, guys, with a talk about the New York Giants. Really hard to find fantasy assets on a team that's playing like one of the best in the NFL right now. It's sort of an incredible story. Brian Daboll got to be Coach of the Year candidate, I would think, at this point. And Wandell Robinson gets a touchdown yesterday. This guy Daniel Bellinger, a tight end, is getting targets from Daniel Jones. I mean, Andrew, I simply don't really know how they're doing it, but as long as they're playing the way that they are, it's time to take a deeper dive into some of these players.
Yeah, and I mean, Daniel Bellinger, you look at how much he played, 94% of the snaps. Like, that is huge for a tight end, because outside of the elite guys, it's like, okay, who's on the field, like, all the time? Like, that's really enough of a sell for a tight end to use him in your fantasy lineup. And the fact that, you know, 20% target share, 5 targets last week, or this past week, you know, he's being efficient, he's catching all of his targets, he's playing a lot. I mean, with tight end, like, that's really all you need sometimes, and he does offer some athleticism. He kind of reminded me a lot of Dawson Knox kind of coming out of school, and that makes sense, the Brian Daboll connection coming from Buffalo. You have a guy who can make plays after the catch. So yeah, I mean, with bye weeks and tight end of how horrible the position is, Daniel Bellinger plays on every down, plays on every snap, get him in your lineups.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the other thing I would say is add Wandale Robinson, 4 targets on 11 routes. He is going to be the best fantasy asset on this team other than Barkley here before too long.
All right. Andrew, great talking to you again. Have a great week.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
All right. Andrew Erickson with us right here on Fantasy Sports Today. Coming up next, it's time for Fantasy or Reality. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
2 ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playmcd.com for full details and amoe.playmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Most important topics in sports wagering: real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. For those of you who are on social media, you want to follow us on Twitter, you can do it by following us at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV for the latest news, notes, information. Of course, the NBA begins tomorrow night, and we got some news and an update on one of the better players in the league, of course, former NBA champion Chris Middleton, still suffering, Davis, from an injury and will be out for an extended period of time. And I wonder, in your opinion, how this affects the Milwaukee Bucks at the start of the year.
Well, it's pretty interesting, because the guy that they spent most of their free agency money on acquiring would be a guy who could step into the rotation and kind of play that wing shooting guard slot next to Chris Middleton. but he is not going to be available to start the year. That would be one Mr. Joe Ingles. Then they have Pat Connaughton on the roster as well. Really what's going to happen is Grayson Allen is going to have to play a ton. And I bet we see a little bit more to start the season of Giannis as like a wing player, you know, instead of being a center. Like, I bet they will play a little bit of Giannis, Bobby Portis, and Brooke Lopez together to start the year, which I don't think is a permutation. They hardly played at all last season. It certainly is not optimal. I mean, we saw in the playoffs last year, the Chris Middleton not being in there against the Boston Celtics. It's probably why they didn't beat the Boston Celtics, I think. Yeah. You know, that 7-game series of Middleton's available, they do probably end up winning. And for a team with championship aspirations, I mean, you know, if they start the season 500 through the first 15 games, like, that's not what you want, right? And we talked about this last week too. Didn't win a game in the preseason. Like, I don't know, the harbingers of kind of a tougher season for the Bucks do kind of look like they're there.
All right, we will see. And of course, start discussing the NBA tomorrow here on the show. But of course, baseball is tonight, and that's where we'll begin on this fantasy or reality. All right, Davis, let's just be honest. This baseball postseason has just been completely sideways, and there's been a lot of discussion about it as to whether or not they did the right thing and adding these wildcard teams. I feel like baseball's getting exactly what they want, not to mention getting the Yankees in a deciding Game 5 on primetime on a Monday night. Yes, I think this is exactly what they want tonight. It is the final game of the American League Division Series. The Cleveland Guardians have given the Yankees all they could handle, but they did not win last night at home, so this one goes back to the Bronx tonight. There's some weather involved here potentially too, but we will see if they get to play this game. Regardless, it should be a fun one, probably one that's tight. Fantasy or reality, the New York Yankees will advance to the American League Championship Series.
I mean, it is, I guess, you know, probably for baseball to really get what they want, it would not have been this starting pitching matchup. Like, this is probably the only thing you could look at and be like, this is not exactly what we wanted. We have Aaron Civale going up against Jameson Taillon. Unless, and this is pretty interesting, there is rain expected tonight for this game, and it's not really expected to dissipate. I was looking at the forecast a little bit earlier. I think it's supposed to start about 3:00 in the afternoon Eastern time and pretty much go all night. And of course, Major League Baseball will be competing against this Chargers Broncos game tonight. Doesn't it maybe just seem like a win all around to push this game until tomorrow? Now, probably there are other, you know, there are knock-on effects from that. Like, we're going to have to push back other games and their scheduling and, like, these stadiums, you know, there's all these events. Like, scheduling sporting events is actually way more of a hassle than you would think. But if we push it back another day, that gives us a better chance of seeing a more marquee matchup, right? Or getting, you know, Gerrit Cole on 3 days rest or just something like that, or getting Bieber in there. So, I got reality. The Yankees are -145 favorites tonight. They are just better than the Guardians. So I got reality.
Yeah, I think if it went tomorrow, Bieber could go. I don't see Cole, though. I mean, maybe Cole in a one-inning situation. That
one
could
inning.
Happen. Yeah, maybe, potentially. Fantasy. I got the Guardians. I got the Guardians winning tonight. Boy, would this be the ultimate smash in the face if the Guardians could go into the Bronx in Yankee Stadium and win. I am just going to follow the narrative of the postseason here to expect the unexpected. You know, Philly probably just as good as Atlanta, but most people had Atlanta winning. Dodgers way better than San Diego. San Diego ends up winning. I got Cleveland. And by the way, I feel good about it. I think the Guardians are going to win. And I think they're going to get smashed by Houston. I think whoever plays Houston's going to get smashed. But I thought LA would easily get to the NLCS too. So don't trust my word on it. I got fantasy. Cleveland wins tonight. They advance to the American League Championship Series to play the Houston Astros on Wednesday, weather permitting. All right. Saturday did live up to the billing. A lot of sports on. There were so many good things to choose from Saturday. It was incredible. Like, so many overtime games. I think there was three that I watched in particular in college football on Saturday. Oklahoma State and TCU. There was another one between Memphis and East Carolina. It was crazy football all over the place. And the best game maybe of them all, maybe, depending on who you like, was Tennessee-Alabama. Tennessee took an early lead in this one, Davis, and then Alabama stormed all the way back, and it was like, oh, this game is over. But wouldn't you know, a team that gets punched in the mouth by the Crimson Tide come back and win? That, like, never happens in college football, and it did. So Tennessee wins, and they take control now of the SEC and the SEC East, of course. But the question is now, are they the best in the country for beating Alabama? Fantasy reality, the Volunteers are the best team in college football.
I would love to say yes. I love Hendon Hooker, Jalin Hyatt. I mean, Jalin Hyatt, 7 receptions, 205 yards, 5 touchdowns. Guy, probably have to go back a pretty long ways to see someone with a game that good in a game this big. But yeah, I got fantasy. Ohio State is the best team in college football. They, if you look at any of the advanced metrics, I like the S&P Plus, which is a metric that they use over at ESPN, developed by Bill Callahan. He has them as the best team in college football by a pretty considerable margin. They're at 30.9 S&P Plus. Georgia, second place, trails 3 points behind them. Alabama, honestly, like, you know, such a coin flip game. Like, and when we get down to it, like, let's say, you know, we're making lines for the college football playoff and Alabama and Tennessee play again or something like that, Alabama would be favored over Tennessee if they played again. Absolutely. Right? I mean, they play on a neutral field. Like, Alabama would be favored. So I got fantasy here. I mean, it's not very fun. It would be way more fun to get really excited and be like, Hendon Hooker, he's the best ever. Like, it's so, but yeah, I got fantasy. They are definitely one of the 8 best teams, though, and I would take them over Michigan, who they are behind of in the rankings and things. But I would say if Tennessee and Michigan played on a neutral field, I would take Tennessee money line.
Yeah, what's interesting here, Davis, is that, you know, I mean, think about this in the college football playoff this year. I saw a scenario where Alabama runs the table the rest of the way. Okay, so they run the table. Georgia runs the table the rest of the way, except for a loss to Tennessee. I mean, legitimately, are we going to have 3 teams in the SEC in the college football championship this year? I don't know. Yeah, this is fantasy. It could be Ohio State, but I'm not, like, just buying that they're the favorite to win the championship or anything this year. I could see Georgia's defense.
They never play a real game. You never know about Ohio State because they don't play a real game.
Yeah, it's hard to predict that. My guess is we're going to get an unpredictable Final Four this year and some team that isn't in there. And what I'm saying doesn't play out. Like, maybe Alabama loses again or something like that. But Volunteers have a shot to get to the playoff. Very good shot. I didn't see what the AP poll is. My guess is they've moved up to 2 or 3. But no, I don't think that they're the best in the country. They definitely have the best win in the country this season. That's for sure. The most exciting finish to a game in the SEC, no doubt. But no, I don't have them number one. But great season for them. All kinds of credit to Josh Heupel and company there for sure. All right, Saturday Night Live back on the air. I know that they had Megan Thee Stallion this past week. I watched probably Saturday Night Live last week about 15 minutes before. You know, I get shook by the wife. You want to watch anymore? I'm like, no, I'm done. I've been watching all football on Saturday and baseball. I was like, okay, I'm out. So I did catch a little bit of it. Jack Harlow is going to host this week on Saturday Night Live on Saturday night, obviously. And also the musical host and going to host the show. Fantasy or reality, Davis, you will watch Jack Harlow host and sing on SNL Saturday night.
Fantasy, I won't. I mean, I do love her, but I do enjoy him. I mean, he's like, one, he's like really funny in his interviews and stuff. So I actually imagine he will probably be pretty good. You know, sometimes these musical artists and these guests come on SNL and they don't really get it. They don't have any comedic timing. They you know, they laugh at their own jokes too much. Like, they just, or sometimes they'll ham it up too much. Like, they'll be way too into it and kind of just ruin. But then every once in a while, you know, obviously you'll get, I mean, and we can go back through the history of the absolute great guest appearances on Saturday Night Live. I expect he will be pretty good. I expect the live music will be pretty good. But I'm just not going to be watching this. Like, I guess you could probably watch this live on Peacock if I had to guess, but I would, like, I don't have cable. So if I'm going to watch Saturday Night Live live, I really don't even know how I would go about accessing it. So this is a fantasy.
You don't have, like, YouTube TV or anything like none of that stuff? How do you watch just like
No, I have. Yeah, I get it all. I get sports through, like, all, like, you know, just through the various packages, but I don't have like one, you know, all together, just like one account, one password way to watch that type of stuff.
Interesting there. Yeah. I mean, usually I do catch Saturday Night Live's first like hour. Usually this week I just was done. Like I had a Little League game, Davis, at 9 a.m., man. And it was like, you know, once that starts, I got to be at the field at 8, and then it's still Florida. It's hot. You know, has so much going on, driving my daughter all over the place. By the time we got to Saturday night, it was like 10 minutes and done. But yeah, I would say that this is a reality. Probably going to watch some of it. Now, do I get to the singing part of Jack Harlow? I mean, that means I got to be awake 40 minutes after midnight on Saturday night. So I'm not sure if that will happen. But I will say yes. I will say that there's a chance, certainly, that that I would watch this as well. But yeah, that, you know, Davis, there was also boxing. I mean, what did you do? Were you able to like catch all this stuff Saturday? There was two fights on Saturday night too. It was like insane.
No, my wife was actually out of town, so I pretty much was just watching college football all day long. That is one of the decisions I've made. Is like I'm just not going to try and keep up with all this stuff. And then also I am inspired by the new show on Amazon. I'm rereading Lord of the Rings, and it's like actually great. Like, honestly, I would rather sit and reread Lord of the Rings for the first time since I was a kid over watching like 60% of football games these days. So that's actually what I was doing while the boxing was on Saturday.
Yeah, the NFL, I mean, some of the games are good, but even yesterday, like if you turned on NFL games, yeah, I mean, especially the late window, I quit around like 4:40 Eastern. I was just like, all right, like I'll check back in like an hour. I mean, Arizona, Seattle, there was no scoring. There was no scoring. I'm Buffalo, KC, game of the year, nothing happening. Yeah, so some of the football not been as good. Week one.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
It may have been the highlight of the season. It was incredible. I mean, since then, it hasn't been as good. All right, maybe we'll get a good primetime game tonight. Sports Grid 60 is coming up next, so stay on the grid for that. We'll turn it over to Kevin and Donnie, and then I'll be back at 2 for Newswire. Go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Before we let you go here on this Monday afternoon and turn it over to the early line, we have 60 seconds of commentary from the weekend. Let's see what's on Davis's mind as he has today's Sports Grid 60.
I don't think that this is going to show up anytime that soon. But the continued badness of these football games, at a certain point, like they're not, the NFL is not just going to be the most dominant media factory in the entire world if these teams can't play, right? If teams can't score points, if it's not exciting. And I mean, I don't really know what the answer is. They've already made so many of the rules favorable to the offense, but like we just can't be tuning in to these primetime games with totals of 42 for the rest of our lives. Like something has got to change. Bills Chiefs ending at 24-20. That stinks. No one wants that, right? Everyone wants the playoff game where it's haymakers back and forth, Rams, Chiefs, stuff like that. Like the too high safety that's dominating the NFL is bad for business. It really is not good.
I watched this football in the 1990s. This was every single week. We waited for one or two good games a week, and that's what it was. The one thing that I of course love about baseball is that I get to talk about it every day with you. The one thing I hate about it is that it just seems like everybody in baseball has something always to complain about. I don't understand what the beef is with this new playoff system. When they invited more wild card teams into the fold, you invited chaos. And that's exactly what you're getting. I cannot imagine that Major League Baseball has any issue whatsoever with the way things went down. Yeah, some of the top media markets didn't win and the Dodgers got knocked out, yes. But you want chaos, you asked for chaos, and you got it. I think it's going perfectly. I guess that's just me. That'll do it for the show today. Thanks again to LTN, of course, our graphics department, for our producer, Brett Levy. My co-host, Davis Maddock. I'm Craig Mish. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. We're right back here, 11 a.m. Eastern, recapping Monday Night Football on another edition of Fantasy Sports Today. Until then, we will see you tomorrow. Early Line is next.